All right. What about tight ends? Do you see any needs there? I mean, Jesse James took a big step. What about Ladarius Green? Are they going to move on from him, or what do you see happening with that unit?
I don't think they move on. I think you at least you carry him to camp and see where he's at with a concussion. I mean, that's such a tricky thing to look at, so it's hard for me to really talk intelligently about Ladarius Green concussions and things I just don't really know about. But I think he's similar to Golson, where you can't count on him going forward because he's got the history, and you know, one more hit could end his career, or maybe this hit he's taken this year ends up doing it. So you know, one name to look at is going to be Evan Engram from Ole Miss. He was down in the Senior Bowl and impressed, and a guy that can stretch the seam, and he's a probably better blocker than people think. He got up to 237 pounds this year. So Jesse James has made some improvements, but he's not going to be that big receiving threat downfield. I don't think he's ever going to be a top tier blocker either. He's kind of right on that cusp of, you know, borderline starter to number two tight end. I mean, again, he made some big strides in the first month of the year to where he's at now, but I don't know if you feel comfortable and confident enough that he's going to be your guy of the future. So Evan Engram, a name to watch.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a step back, and with all the offseason issues with guys like Bryant, with guys like they even brought in Carlos Williams, lots of guys with character concerns, issues, or just being a little bit of a pain, guys like Antonio, who, you know, clearly there's some disturbing, you know, elements that bother the coaching staff. So looking at that and looking at the draft, how does that stuff start affecting who they draft? Do they shy away a little bit more from guys that are sort of high value but character issue type guys than they would have in the past? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question. I would love to know exactly their answer and philosophy. I think, you know, I hate to give you the cliche trite answer here, but I think it's really a case by case basis of exactly what a guy's situation is. You know, what does he say about whatever instance he had? Does he apologize for it and man up, or does he try to, you know, blame others? You know, what is his approach to dealing with those situations and looking a coach and a GM in the face and explaining what happened to him? I think another part of it could be, and this is just the reality of it, is what's the investment? You know, do you judge a first-round character the same way you're going to judge somebody who's taken in the sixth round with character concerns? Obviously, a first-round pick, if he has problems off the field to get him out of the league, you know, that's a bigger risk to take. A six-rounder, that happens, but the upside is high as an on-the-field talent. You might roll the dice a little bit more, similar to Martavis Bryant, who got in the fourth round because the value was right. So, I think the baseline things they look for in the draft, though, is just great athletes who play in big conferences. You look at the top three picks last year, you fit one or two of those categories. Artie Burns, Sean Davis, fantastic athletes, big schools. Javon Hargrave, not a big school guy, but a fantastic athlete for the position. So it's sad to say in a way, but a lot of those character concerns, you know, get overlooked or are just forgotten about. You know, we talk about Dre Rice's of the world and obviously the justifiable, you know, uproar about how the NFL handled it, but you look at the guys coming from college to the NFL that have similar baggage. No one cares. No one talks about it. No one talks about Frank Clark's domestic violence problems. No one talks about Tyreek Hill choking his pregnant girlfriend and pleading guilty to it as well. As much as we say, you know, character concerns can hurt a guy, and they certainly can, you know, going from college to the NFL, people just forget about it. A guy plays well for a year, and no one cares about what he did in college. So I think it's become
history,
an issue.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just becomes, you know, if it didn't happen in the NFL, it's like it never even happened at all.
So what about character concerns with the coaching staff? You know, Joey Porter, it's well documented, a little bit of his history, and then, of course, right here in the playoffs, what he did. Do you see them moving on from Joey Porter for that exact issue, character concerns, or is he going to be on this staff next year?
In addition to that, any other coaching movement you think may happen?
I think Porter returns. Obviously, I can't know that for sure, but it'd be shocking to me for them to bring him back a week after he got arrested, even though it was kind of up in the air, and I was pretty surprised that he came back for the Kansas City game. It'd be weird to bring him back for that and then fire him in the offseason. If you wanted to get rid of him, you'd probably just hold him out for the whole playoffs and then, you know, fire him in the offseason. So my guess is Porter stays. elsewhere, Danny Smith is probably the first name Steeler fans talk about. I like Danny Smith. If people have followed me, I have a very soft spot for Danny Smith. I think he's a good coach. I think he's done this for a long time. Players really work hard and fight hard for him. Some of the issues that have happened are individual problems, although I understand it's tough to separate coaching from individual mistakes. But clearly there's no denying for some teams about once a game had some sort of gaffe that he definitely wanted to live without. So wouldn't surprise me in the least if Danny Smith was fired. And then other coaching changes, Richard Mann, the receivers coach, has basically hinted and almost said he's going to retire at the end of the year. Maybe he had a change of hearts. Maybe he sticks around. But he's an older guy. I mean, he's been coaching since, I think, 1970 at Aliquippa High School when he started coaching. So he's been around a long, long time. Actually, the Steelers got him out of retirement whenever he became the receivers coach in 2012 or 2013.
Didn't he have a heart condition this year, a pacemaker? Maybe in, was that Richard Mann earlier this year?
I know Mann missed OTAs with some surgery. I forget what it was. Maybe it was something like that, but he did miss some time in the spring. So he's an older guy. I think he's probably around 70 years old. But then James Daniel, the tight ends coach, who's probably about the same age, him and Richard Mann seem like they're basically best friends at training camp. You'd always see them come down in the golf cart together and leave together. And I heard they always ate lunch together, too. So maybe James Daniel goes as well. And John Mitchell has been, the defensive line coach, has been hinting at retirement for what almost was like 10 years now, probably more about five. He said after Aaron Smith and Brett Kiesel left, he would leave too. Well, he's still here, but you got to think at some point he hangs it up as well. So could see some changes under the coaching staff this year.
So if you see some retirements or even if they move on from Danny Smith in a situation where they fire him, when are we looking at here? We're a week past their last game. What kind of timeline are we looking at?
You imagine, you know, the sooner the better, so you can bring in the next coach, so he can start to evaluate for the draft whenever scouts come to him and say these are the guys you really want to take a closer look at. I'd have to look at maybe when past firings have happened. I mean, it's not the Steelers coaching staff have ever really undergone some major sweeping changes. But, you know, Tomlin's kind of unpredictable with that. So I remember Al Everest was, like, fired 2 weeks before the regular season started, the one season. So, you know, sooner rather than later, but I can't say for sure when that's going to happen. Within the next couple weeks, you probably think you hear something.
And in terms of some of those moves, and you look at the coaching, the scouting staff, and you see guys like Bruner there, former Steeler tight end of you know, high note. These guys are out there you know, representing the team as scouts now. What do you see them doing out there, and how do you see them operating? It may have been different in the past in terms of how they're scouting guys. You see them at the Senior Bowl as an example. Anything interesting that you notice from their behavior out there at the bowl games? And also on a side note, you see a guy like Bruner stepping off from the scouting position and jumping into coaching if, in fact, there is a tight end coach change.
Yeah, that could make sense. That's a good question about the scouts. I don't get asked about that. It's a good question, though. I'd rather be asked about that than, like, what's going to happen with Ben? Is he going to, you know, retire or just the off-season fodder that kicks up? But from my observations, you know, some guys talk more. Some guys are very focused and don't say a word. Chidi Iwuma, who I was sitting next to the one day of practice, I don't think he said a word the entire time. So some guys talk a little bit more. You know, but it seems like the scouting staff has filled either a lot of ex-Steelers or, like, you know, nepotism, someone related to the Steelers, you know, higher ups, because you have
they
players
like things very internal. Yeah, they have to keep things very internal and quiet, right?
At the Senior Bowl, those guys were basically ghosts. You know, we would ask guys, did you meet with the Steelers? Did you talk to them? I mean, no one had said, no one would give us a yes at all. And then finally on Thursday, I saw the scouting contingency sitting in the bleachers. So it was like, wow, these guys are here. You knew they were there, but, you know, they like to be very close to the best. But, yeah, they have ex-players like Bruner and Chidi Iwuma. They have Dan Colbert, the scout. Dan Rooney Jr. is there. I think there's a couple other guys that I'm blanking on right now. So you're right. It is a very internal kind of thing.
And any expectations in terms of surprises? So you look at this draft. You look at this team and where it's hopefully headed. They get a lot of guys back. They get a Hayward back. They get Bryant back. They get hopefully Green back at tight end. They get Bell back, who was out really for practical purposes the whole playoff game against New England. That's like getting four first-round draft picks back. Now, with all this in sort of legitimate surprise from your point of view on what they would do in this offseason, knowing that they've got 2 years maybe left with Ben, and they've, you know, they're so close this year? Do they go all in, or do they surprise, try to throw them over the edge for this final couple years of his career?
That's a good question about surprises. I mean, unless they went big at outside linebacker, let's say, you know, you mentioned him earlier, a Melvin Ingram type, and they just wanted to go put big money at a guy because they might have some extra cap space. That, you know, is, I guess, not impossible, but it certainly would qualify as a surprise if somebody came in with a $30 million-plus, you know, kind of 4 or 5 year contract. But, man, I think they have the group of guys right now to win, and I don't think you want to rock the boat too much. If you get, you know, like you said, Martavis Bryant back, with Darius Green, if he's healthy, you give AB his long-term deal with Le'Veon Bell, the worst, you franchise tag him. I mean, you have the nucleus. The defense had a big rise the second half of the season. The secondary made huge strides. The red zone defense was fantastic overall, as long as you're not playing the Patriots, of course. So I don't think you're off the boat too much. I think you're in a really good spot. It's been built up. So many of these guys are homegrown. You have to tip your hat to Kevin Colbert. I feel like Colbert does not get the credit and the recognition he deserves for the way this roster is being constructed. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You can never say for sure, of course, but I think, you know, outside of maybe making a giant splash as outside linebacker, I don't think they're going to make any move that's going to, you know, put my jaw on the floor.
Yeah, and Colbert got crushed after this draft, and how poor this draft was, how they reached for every player, and lo and behold, these guys were terrific considering their rookies and stepping in big time games. So, yeah, I agree. I think you got to tip your hat to him. I mean, not every draft is going to be on target, but you know, this was a terrific draft.
Yeah, Ron, are you telling me people should pump the brakes and wait a second before giving it a draft evaluation 5 seconds after it happened? That's crazy talk.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far out. No, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, now you see some of the reactions, and yeah, you just gotta. You know, I'm all for talking about picks and evaluating and seeing if it's a good pick or not. But we all know it. We have to see what happens and give it multiple years. But absolutely, you talk about three home runs, slam dunk, insert sports cliche here for the top three picks. They were great finds by Kevin Colbert.
Well, I think we're wrapping up on time, and we do appreciate you taking all this time out. Anything you want to throw at us about what the Steelers Depot is doing, or anything else you want to talk to us about before we let you off for dinner?
No, I think that's everything. We're going to start a big off-season dive. I got some Senior Bowl wrap-up stuff going up on Monday on Steelers Depot, and I think our first draft profile went up today. And we're going to probably try to do 150 to 200 scouting reports this year. So be on the lookout for that.
150 to 200, that's it?
I might try to cut back on the sleep a little bit and get to 250 or something, but we'll try. But like you said earlier on, NFL season never stops, and neither do we at Steelers Depot.
Well, I think we certainly appreciate you taking a little bit of time for us today. I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate, so we really appreciate you carving out some of that time for us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. I'll definitely have to be on throughout the offseason.
Well, we'd love to have you on, talk more, especially as we dig deeper into the draft and we see sort of more information as these guys come out and the evaluations start kicking in. So we'd love to have you back, and thanks a lot. Thanks again, Alex. This was great information. You got great insight, so thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Take care. That's it for another edition of Steel Nation Radio, presented by Steelers Takeaways. I'm Mike Pelaya for Ron Lippick. We'll catch you next time.